Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Norma Mintz, and today we will be studying Daniel Perek Dalet, Chapter 4. Yesterday we learned the third perek, in which Hanania, Mishael, and Azariah refused to bow to Nebuchadnezzar's golden statue due to their allegiance to Hashem, and they were bound and thrown into a fiery furnace as punishment. Once in the flames, the three men walk freely and safely amidst the fire, accompanied by a fourth godly figure. Nebuchadnezzar has them come out of the flames and praises them and their god. He promotes them within the palace and threatens anyone who denigrates their god. That is actually the last that we will hear from Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in Sefer Daniel. The last three psukim of yesterday's parak are actually the start of today's material. The text is a letter written by Nebuchadnezzar, written in the third person, meant for all of those who live within his empire. Since this letter is written following the events that will be described, it opens with Nebuchadnezzar's recognition of Hashem's greatness. Ataya v'timhaya di avad imi Eloha ila'a shvar kadamai l'achvaya. It has seemed good to me to declare the signs and wonders that God Most High has wrought before me. Here we find the third consecutive perek that speaks about Nebuchadnezzar and his recognition of Hashem. And we will find that this one in particular will not simply be a fleeting moment. In this letter, he describes having been troubled by a dream once again, and that his ministers were not able to interpret his dream until he presented it to Daniel. Recognizing Daniel's special relationship with Hashem, he asks for assistance. Nebuchadnezzar describes a tall and mighty tree, which was so great it could be seen all over the earth. This tree had beautiful leaves, and it provided fruit. Many animals and birds lived in its branches and its shade. Suddenly, an ear, which Rashi understands to be an angel from the language of air or awake, as there is an understanding that angels do not sleep, shouts that the tree should be cut down. Its branches should be removed, its leaves and its fruit should be shaken off, and the animals and birds should leave the former sanctuary of this tree. And yet, a stump of this tree will remain, surrounded by a band of iron and brass. It will be covered in dew, and verse 13 states, Ve'im chevta chalakei ba'asav ara, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the earth. We then find a very interesting expression regarding this tree. In verse 13, the translation reads, Let his, meaning the tree's heart, be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given to him, and let seven seasons pass over him. If there was ever any doubt that this tree represents a human, it is clear from this verse that it is so. It should be noted that in Tanakh, when the heart is mentioned, as we see here, this is generally referring to one's intellectual capacity as opposed to one's emotional capacity. This means that the metaphorical tree would change from being a being that can reason and think as a human and transform into an animalistic being without the capacity for advanced thought. With the conclusion of the dream, we find, interestingly, that Daniel is hesitant in his response. Pasuk Tetzayin 16 tells us that he waited 1 hour to respond. The Malbim explains that this is due to Daniel's fear of sharing the meaning of this dream with Nebuchadnezzar, as he was afraid that Nebuchadnezzar might shoot the messenger, so to speak, of Daniel's bad news regarding Nebuchadnezzar's future. As Daniel will go on to say that this dream is really to the benefit of Nebuchadnezzar's enemies, Rashi here states that Daniel was afraid that Nebuchadnezzar would count the Yehudim among these enemies and curse them as a result. Nebuchadnezzar still encourages Daniel to give his interpretation, and the Malbim sees this in his encouragement an absolution for whatever follows. As we might have guessed by now, the tree represents Nebuchadnezzar, whose power had stretched far and wide. We have seen other important stories in which a leader is represented by a tree. This was the case of the parable of Yotam from the 9th parak of Judges, Shoftim. In that story, Abimelech, the son of Gidon, had killed all of his brothers but Yotam, the youngest, and Abimelech was trying to rule. Yotam then spoke out to the nation, comparing the great leaders of the past, such as Gidon and Deborah, to olive and fig trees and grapevines, whereas Abimelech was nothing but a thorn bush. Perhaps even more strikingly, in the 31st chapter of Yechezkel, Hashem has Yechezkel address the king of Egypt, taking note of how Ashur was likened to a great cedar of Lebanon, with flourishing branches and animals enjoying its shade, but explaining that even as it was taken down by Babel, and that surely that even I'm sorry that tree was taken down by Babel, and that surely Egypt, which could not compare to the great Ashur, would be brought down as well. Daniel therefore explains to Nebuchadnezzar that the dream portends a great fall that Nebuchadnezzar will soon experience. We read in verses 22 and 23, "You shall be driven away from mankind, and your dwelling will be with the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like oxen, and you shall be wet with the dew of heaven, and 7 seasons shall pass over you, until you know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of man, and he gives it to whom he wishes. And as it for being said, the stump of the roots of the tree be left, your kingdom shall stand and wait for you, after you come to know that the heavens rule." With this devastating prediction, Daniel also offers a more hopeful ending, in which Nebuchadnezzar's power will return once he recognizes God's dominion. What is more, and is perhaps surprising, is that Daniel offers Nebuchadnezzar advice. Verse 24 reads, "V'chata'ach b'tzidka purak, v'avayatach b'mchan anayin, hen teheve archa l'shlevatach. And break off thy sins by almsgiving, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if there may be a lengthening of thy prosperity." Daniel here encourages Nebuchadnezzar to give tzedakah in order to prolong his good fortune. Many commentators are disturbed by Daniel's attempt to help Nebuchadnezzar. In a Gemara in Bava Batra 4a, Chazal tells us that Daniel is punished for offering him this advice. According to one opinion, his punishment is that he is later demoted and made into a minor attendant, unrecognizable to others. This understanding identifies him as Hatach, who ministers to Esther in the 4th parak of Megillat Esther. According to a second opinion, his punishment is being thrown into the lion's den, which we will soon see in the 6th parak of Daniel. Rashi justifies Daniel's action by explaining that he did it for the benefit of the needy exiles. The Malbim goes even further, arguing that the advice was justifiable because it was actually part of the dream. He explains that the tzedakah that was foretold when the dream depicts the animals eating from the tree's fruit. In any event, 12 months later, Nebuchadnezzar's fate can be stalled no longer, either because he ceases giving charity, according to some commentators, or because it could not hold off his punishment indefinitely, according to others. The text of it depicts Nebuchadnezzar standing atop his palace, glorying in his empire, stating, "Hala dahi bavel rabta, di ana venaita levet malchu, bitkaf chisni uvilikar hadri. Is not this great Babylon, which I have built for a royal dwelling place by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" In response, God brings about the punishment that Daniel predicted, and Nebuchadnezzar loses his faculties, apparently behaving wildly and in a beastly fashion, eating from the ground, growing out his hair and nails, and most certainly not engaging in the rule of his kingdom. There is not strong historical corroboration for the narrative depicted in this parak, but there are some theories, two of which I learned from the teachings of Rabbi Yaakov Maidan. In one such theory, this event may be discussed in a text from the Dead Sea Scrolls concerning the prayer of Nebunaid, who suffered a plague of boils for 7 years and lived in Tima in the desert. He was healed by a Jewish sage who recognized the Supreme God. Rav Maidan explains that it is possible that Nebunaid is actually a general title, like the word Paro, or Pharaoh, such that Nebuchadnezzar was the personal name of a certain Nebunaid. In addition, Rav Maidan explains that some academic scholars theorized that a coup d'etat took place in the palace, and Nebuchadnezzar's wife, Shmirmit, seized the throne. It is possible that she cast Nebuchadnezzar into prison, a pit unfit for human habitation, and there he lived in conditions fit for animals, without any possibility of cutting his nails or his hair. This historical hypothesis is based on the fact that the walls of the palace in Babylon bear only the name of Shmirmit, not the name of Nebuchadnezzar. Finally, after some time, the text describes Nebuchadnezzar raising his eyes to the heaven and having his reason return. In that moment, he recognizes that Hashem is the true ruler over all, and he praises God. He then returns to his post and rules over Babel once again, now with the knowledge that all that he has comes from Hashem. The framing of this punishment makes abundantly clear that it takes place because of a misguided belief that his success and might were due to his own talents. He is first struck after walking on his palace roof, looking down over all that he rules. This might remind us of David HaMelech, King David, walking on the roof of his palace. It is on the roof that David spots Bathsheba and enters into one of the most complicated moments of his life. From the high perch of a king, one may fall prey to the false belief that one has one's own self to thank for power and success. In contrast, Nebuchadnezzar returns to himself after he lifts his eyes toward the heavens, recognizing the true dominion of God. Personally, I find this three-parak depiction of Nebuchadnezzar fascinating. The Abravanel explains that Parakim 2, 3, and 4 all work together. First, in Parak Bet, the second parak, Nebuchadnezzar receives the interpretation of his first dream, in which he learns that his kingdom will be finite, as it will give way to later kingdoms. Then in Parak Gimel, Parak 3, Abravanel explains that it is no coincidence that Nebuchadnezzar's idol was made entirely of gold, as he was trying to overturn his dream, with a fully golden idol in contrast to the golden head of the image from his dream. Finally, in Parak Dalet, Parak 4, God punishes him, separating him from humanity, for trying to change God's plan for the world. And yet, it is important to remember that this is not the end of the story. We must read through the end of the parak to truly learn about Nebuchadnezzar. What do I mean by this? Nebuchadnezzar is known by our people for his destruction of the first Beit HaMikdash. His name is synonymous for many with evil and cruelty. At the same time, other books of Tanakh have shown us that we must recognize Nebuchadnezzar's role as divinely mandated. In Yirmiyahu, God twice calls him God's servant. And in Yechezkel, God says that he gave Egypt to Nebuchadnezzar as payment for his quote-unquote work. However, we learn about Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel on a completely different level. We see him as a power-hungry tyrant who ultimately undergoes a complete transformation. Significantly, Nebuchadnezzar's story ends here, in tshuva, in repentance. The Tanakh teaches us here, once again, that tshuva is attainable for anyone, that God welcomes it, and that we may change ourselves and our lives at any time. As a brief review of today's learning, Perek Dalet is a letter written by Nebuchadnezzar. First, it tells the story of Nebuchadnezzar's second dream. Daniel once again serves as his interpreter and hesitantly tells Nebuchadnezzar that his dream predicts that he will become beast-like, losing his mental capacities and living among animals for a period of seven seasons. But that his kingdom will return to him after he recognizes God. 1 year later, this comes to fruition after Nebuchadnezzar glories in his accomplishments, but he is restored to his position and his greatness once he understands that Hashem is the true ruler of the world, a position he shares with his subjects. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat Malka Esther, Bat Svi Yosef.